Epistle number 2. Brother Blank. While in Rochester, New York, December 25th, 1865, before I visited the state of Maine, I saw some things in relation to the perplexing and discouraging condition of the cause in that state. I was shown that quite a number were thinking it their duty to teach the Word of God publicly, who had mistaken their work. They had no call to devote themselves to this solemn, responsible work. These men were not qualified for the work of the ministry. They could not instruct others properly. The experience of some had been obtained among a class of religious fanatics, who had no true sense of the exalted character of the work. The religious experience of this class of professed Seventh-day Adventists was not reliable. They had not firm principles underlying all their actions. They were self-confident and boastful. Their religion consisted in impulse, in noise and confusion, spiced with eccentricities and oddities. It did not consist in righteous acts, true humility of soul, and sincere devotion to God. They had not felt, neither could they feel, the necessity of being clothed in Christ's righteousness. They had a righteousness of their own, which was as filthy rags, and which God can, in no case, accept. These persons delighted in disorder. They had no love for union and harmony of action. Confusion, distraction, and diversity of opinion was their choice. This element of confusion suited their undisciplined minds, as they were ungovernable, unsubdued, unregenerated, and unconsecrated. They were a curse to the cause of God, and brought the name of Seventh-day Adventists into disrepute. The work of reformation, or sanctification through the truth, they had not experienced. They were coarse and uncultivated. They would talk of heaven and the coming of Jesus as they would of a horse. They had never tasted of that sweet, pure refinement of the world to come. They had never experienced, neither had their hearts been awed by, the mystery of godliness. They placed divine and eternal things upon a level with common things. They had a superficial knowledge or theory of the truth, but farther than this, they were ignorant. Its principles had not taken hold of their lives and led them to an abhorrence of self. They had never viewed themselves in the light in which Paul viewed himself, which led him to see the moral defects in his character. They had never been slain by the law of God. They had not separated themselves from their impurities and defilement. It is the favorite occupation of some of this class to engage in trifling conversation and levity. This habit they contracted and indulged in upon occasions which should have been characterized with solemn meditation and devotion. In doing this, they manifested a lack of true dignity and refinement, and forfeited the esteem of sensible men and women who had no knowledge of the truth. This class had thrown themselves into a current of temptation, and kept themselves where the enemy has successfully led them, and he has so easily controlled their minds and corrupted their entire experience, that in all probability they will be unable to recover themselves out of the snare of the devil and obtain a healthful experience. The fires of the day of God will consume the stubble and chaff, and there will be nothing left of any who continue in the ungodly course they have so long loved. This class have a disrelish for the society of those whom God is truly with. Their religious experience is of so low an order that they have no part nor lot in a rational, intelligent religious experience. Therefore, the society of those whom God leads and is teaching has been despised. Sarcasm and irony is the stronghold of some peculiar minds of this class. They are bold and insolent, and do not regard good manners. They have no care to discriminate and render honor to whom honor is due. They manifest a proud, rebellious, defiant spirit against those who differ from their opinions. From their boisterous manners and wrong course, the true servants of God feel that they have resisted the efforts made for them, and become disheartened in reference to laboring any further in their behalf. They engage in a contemptible triumph of exactly the same nature as that which Satan and the evil angels engage in over souls they secure. They have Satan and evil angels on their side to exult with them. The cases of the persons in whom this cast of character is peculiarly and strikingly developed are hopeless. They are encased in self-righteousness, and everything like refinement and elevation of character with which they are brought in contact, they term pride and lack of humility. Coarseness and ignorance are termed humility. With this class, you have obtained a large share of your religious experience. Therefore, you are not qualified for the work of teaching the most solemn, refined, elevating, and withal the most testing message to mortals. You may reach a class of minds, but the more intelligent portion of the community will be driven farther off by your labors. You have not a sufficient knowledge of the common branches of education to be an instructor of men and women who have a wily devil, on the other hand, to suggest and devise ways and means to lead them from the truth. The teachers of the common schools are required to be masters of their business. They are closely examined to ascertain if children can properly be trusted to their care. A process of investigation is gone through with to discern something of the thoroughness of their qualifications, according to the importance of the position they are required to occupy. I saw that God's work was of as much more exalted a character, and of as much higher interest, as the eternal is above the temporal. A mistake made here cannot be repaired. It is of infinite importance that every person who goes forth to teach the truth should be qualified for his work. No less strict investigation should be instituted in reference to their ability to teach the truth than in the case of those who teach our schools. God's work has been belittled by a course of slackness and looseness manifested by professed ministers of Christ. I was shown that ministers must be sanctified and holy, and must have a knowledge of the Word of God. They should be familiar with Bible arguments, and prepared to give a reason of their hope, or they should cease their labors, and engage in a calling where deficiency will not involve such tremendous consequences. Ministers who preach for the denominations of the day are acceptable preachers, if they can speak upon a few simple points of the Bible. But the ministers of these last days who are spreading unpopular truth, who have to meet men of learning, men of strong minds, and opposers of every type, should know what they are about. They should not take upon themselves the responsibility of teaching the truth unless they are qualified for their work. If novices, they should, before engaging in or devoting themselves to the work, become Bible students. If they have not education that they can speak in public with acceptance, and do justice to the truth, and honor the Lord whom they profess to serve, they should wait till they are fitted for the position. Brother Blank, you cannot fill the position of a minister of Christ. I saw that you lacked a correct religious experience. You have not a knowledge of yourself. You cannot read correctly or use language which could commend the truth you seek to present to the understanding of an intelligent community. You lack discrimination. You would not know when it was wisdom to keep silent or proper to speak. You have so long thought, with the peculiar class I have mentioned, that you knew it all, that you would not see your deficiencies when they were presented before you. Your experience has been self-confident and boastful, possessing a large share of self-esteem. You are not teachable. Therefore, the cause of God would not prosper in your hands. You would fail to recognize a defeat when you met with one. The cause of God would be brought into disrepute and dishonor by your labors, and you would fail to discover the fact. A certain class may be convinced by you of the truth, but more would be turned away and placed where they could not be reached by proper, judicious labors. Interwoven with your experience are things that will prove detrimental to the truth. You cannot be a representative of the truth that God can accept. Your manners have not been refined and elevated. Your deportment has not been pleasing to God. Your words have been careless. You lack devotion and piety. You have not obtained an experience in the spiritual life. You fail in your understanding of how to rightly divide the word of life, giving to each his portion of meat in due season. You have preferred to contend and contest points when you were entirely out of your place and could but meet with defeat. This is the spirit of the class mentioned in Maine. It is their delight to engage in contest and brave it through. You would not manifest meekness in instructing those who oppose themselves. You will ever be crippled in a degree with your unfortunate experience. You lack self-culture and meekness. You have important lessons to learn before you can become an unassuming, acceptable follower of Christ, even in a private capacity. Ellen G. White.